Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
The Burt Show.
I love starting a show by breaking tradition. Look, usually Monday morning, we haven't seen each other, so I'll go around the room and I'll ask everybody, how'd your weekend go? Well, before we can do that, we need to go back last week before we move forward. And it turns out that Abby here, by far, is the best prankster on the Burt Show. She set up Jackson in such a glorious way that we really need to clear the air because a lot of you guys have changed your opinion on Jackson after this. I mean, the man was set up.
I had no idea I had such a loyal following until we did this corny joke off that ended up not being corny. It sounded more like another word with a different letter in front of corny. Last week, me and Jackson were put on the schedule to do a corny Halloween joke-off. It was going to be festive and fun and kid-friendly and fun for the whole family.
And if you've never heard it before, the corny joke-off really is like, these are jokes, dad jokes for toddlers, basically.
Exactly.
Or second graders, right? I mean, they're supposed to be corny. They're supposed to be silly. There's nothing sophisticated about it at all. And we go back and forth.
So the night before the corny joke off, at 5:45 p.m., Jackson texts me as I already have the whole thing prepared. And he says, let's roast each other instead. And I text him. I was like, well, first of all, this is a real job, so let's get it approved. Let's not just go off the rails. And he's like, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to roast you. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to prepare some roasts for Jackson just to be safe, because when you get on the air, like, it's like an arena. Like, you gotta play how the game is going to play.
Yeah, so read the room.
You got to read the room. So I was like, if it goes to where I look stupid because I don't have any roasts, I don't want to be unprepared. So I've got my corny, dad-friendly jokes to my left, and then I have some really brutal roasts about Jackson that are also Halloween-themed to my right on my prep sheet.
What made you decide to go rogue?
Okay, yes. So earlier in the afternoon, I was here a little bit later than normal, and I was hanging out with Mikey in the phone screening room, and I was like, I should probably start like thinking about prepping for the segment for tomorrow. So we're going through and I'm looking up these jokes and like we're reading through these corny jokes and I'm like, man, like the overlap is going to be crazy. All of these have been said a million times. There's nothing original about these. So then we're like, I bet we can make funnier jokes than these. So we start kind of riffing back and forth off of each other and making jokes. And Mikey and I's humor is a little bit darker than a normal corny joke. So it progressed into something that...
It morphed
into something a little bit more aggressive. And I was like, wow, wait, some of these are actually really funny. And we might actually be onto something. And I was like, this will be way better if I do these instead. And then I was thinking, what if we start, like, then, of course, we're starting to make some about everybody on the show and about, and then we're like, wow.
Oh, everybody on the show.
Me.
Oh,
wow.
We didn't get those.
We're just brainstorming here. And then it comes to Abby, and then I'm like, okay, I think it'll be even funnier if it, like, starts very corny, and then all of a sudden I just switch it and then start doing these Halloween-themed roast sort of jokes on Abby. And Mikey's hyping me up, and I'm like, yeah, this is
a... Of course Mikey is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this is a great idea. At this point, corny has totally left my head.
Has left the building.
It had left the building.
Do you have a sample for those that didn't hear it of one of the roasts for Abby?
Yeah, like, what's the difference between Abby and a pumpkin? A pumpkin has guts. Really dumb.
You try to change the tone that time.
Yeah, sure did.
That's definitely stupid. Cutting edge. Totally worth going rogue.
Super worth it. But then I was like,
all right. Delivery was way different that time, though. Mm-hmm.
Still hurts 3 days later.
I had thought about how this is going to come off a little bit shocking if we don't give Abby the heads up, because we were kind of toying with the idea of just completely not letting her know, which is why I texted her the night before and was like, I'm giving you the heads up that I'm probably going to throw some of these in there. You should be ready for them just in case. So I thought that she was going to come back to me and also bring the heat, and it was going to like turn into this other bit.
So you never confirmed, like, okay, this sounds great, I'll roast you also.
Well,
it was still kind of vague, because this is my biggest pet peeve, like, getting instructions for the show at like 7 p.m. because I'm in bed. Yeah. I got my socks on. I'm watching my show. And so now I'm like, I have to think of all these mean things to say about Jackson. Easy. But but I got to do it, you know, before I fall asleep in 30 minutes. So we kind of talked about it. And then we were kind of like, yeah. And then I came in and I was like, I still feel like we need to do what the schedule says. Like, I don't like going rogue without approval.
Mm-hmm.
So we come in and Jackson texts me like 10 minutes before the segment. He's like, we need to talk. And I had some other segment to prepare for. I was like, I don't have time. But he comes running down. He's like, we're doing this right. Like, we're going to start mild and then we're going into it. And I look at him. I'm like, yes, we're going to roast each other. So fast forward to the actual segment. We get in here and Jackson goes in a completely different direction than I thought we were going in. Because all Jackson told me was that we need to roast each other with like a Halloween spin on it. So I have all of these. The plot twist on this is that even though Jackson got in trouble, I have all of these like R-rated aggressive roasts for Jackson ready to go that are kind of Halloween themed.
Oh, bonus content. I see bonus content coming.
No, I deleted them. And then, so we start out kind of mild. I start saying like some random jokes about skeletons and vampires, and Jackson's kind of doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden he starts making direct jokes about my appearance and how I look during the 6 a.m. hour. And I realize that my roasts are not even in the same ballpark as Jackson's. Like, his are still kind of corny and like in a joke format. Mine are just mean. And I'm like, this is not going to go over well for me. So what should a woman do when she's backed into a corner? Play the victim. So I just start acting really uncomfortable, like this is coming out of nowhere. And it just made Jackson look horrible.
I want to hear some of these comments that you've been getting.
Yeah. So as soon as that bit ended and then Abby reveals, she's like, I gotcha. Both Christian, you and Bert were like, you are going to get torched online for that. And I was like, yeah.
It was so uncomfortable to listen to, especially the way Abby pulled it off. Like, I had no idea this was going to be.
And for the Bert had no idea. Uh-uh. I had no idea. Mo had no idea. We just thought Jackson was mean.
And then Abby saying, like, why would you say that?
That's so mean.
So first of all, my mom gives me a call and she goes.
A call?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, what happened with that bit between you and Abby? She's like, did you get in trouble? And I was like, no, I got set up and it was all, this whole thing. So usually I try to steer clear from comments, but this time a lot of the comments came to me directly in the form of direct messages. And then that also caused me to go read some comments afterwards because I was honestly morbidly curious. Let's see. You're an a-hole.
Yep, right to it.
And not the good way, I don't think.
We've got Abby is better than you.
True.
We've got not funny, period. No wonder Abby beat you to the job.
Oh, dang it. They weren't even in line for the same job.
Yes, also for the record, we were not applying. We never applied for the same job.
These aren't even mean. They're just facts.
Here's a comment. Did Abby reject him or something? He's really hating on her.
Wow. The audience is really observant.
If Jackson were actually good on air, he would have pivoted immediately when his jokes went south.
Damn.
This is really brutal.
He is out of control. This isn't the first time he's been downright mean. I don't know what the other times were, but maybe there are.
Oh, yeah. You roasted all of us one day. Yeah.
Okay, no, I do remember
that. We didn't forget.
It's just a lot of things about somehow Abby and I having, or me having this underlying resentment towards her, which, let the record show, is not the case, okay? Stop it.
still doing
it. My tell-all comes out next week.
Our humor off air is very honestly not radio friendly. We are constantly taking jabs at each other. It's just part of the way that we work.
You two more than anybody, I think.
Yeah, we have admittedly, we both have a very aggressive sense of humor.
I have said this 100,000 times on the show that if you're a listener and you're listening to any morning show, forget about the Burt Show, any morning show, if there are a couple of members that aren't making fun of each other, that you're not ribbing each other, there's one of them that is, the chemistry's not right. So if people are ripping on each other and they're having a good time, like this is brother sister type stuff.
Absolutely.
That's how you know it's healthy.
But again, the way Abby played it on air last week.
Yeah.
it was not easy to tell that.
Chef's kiss.
I said you
look
good.
Chef's kiss on that.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
When people say they would commit crimes for Taylor Swift, let it be known that Jason Kelce is leading that pack. I don't know if you saw the video of this over the weekend, but Jason Kelce was at a football game and somebody decided to make a really... aggressive is not even the right term. They used a gay slur to describe Travis Kelce for dating Taylor Swift.
He's at a college football game, a Penn State, Ohio State game, which to me is so weird that this was happening to him because he played for Philadelphia and he's on Penn State's campus. You would think it's a friendly place, right? These students are following him. So there's a horde of students around him, like yelling stuff at him and like he's a villain or something. It was really weird.
It's so weird. They have cameras in his face. It was really, really strange and aggressive for no reason.
He's just trying to walk out of the stadium.
He's just living his life. So I'll play the audio for you, and you can... It's a little bit kind of in the background what the guy says to him, and you can hear it. But what is not quiet is the sound of Jason Kelce slamming the guy's phone on the ground after he approaches him to teach him a lesson for saying crap about Travis.
Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
And then the slap that you hear is the guy's phone hitting the ground, getting smacked.
He says something to the effect of, how does it feel like you're really, how do you even work your way around this?
You can say, how does it feel that your brother Travis is an F word for dating Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A gay slur.
Yeah, it was said multiple times.
Yep.
I don't understand picking on anybody, but I certainly do not understand picking on someone who was a professional athlete.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a good fight for you ever.
Yeah, when you're a 5'10" frat boy, don't be making comments at Jason Kelce, one of the best centers in the NFL, and also, you know, 6'4", 270 pounds. Terrifying to see that man coming your way.
Yep.
But love seeing people stand up for Taylor Swift because more people need to do that. Shout out Jason Kelce. Okay, but somebody who needs to sit down when it comes to Taylor Swift is her former record label owner. So if you don't know the lore of Taylor Swift, she's re-recording all of her music because the guy who owned her old label basically discovered her and said, and when she decided to like buy her masters so that she could have full ownership of her art and also get the full money for when people stream her music, he basically said, okay, sure, but you have to buy back your albums one by one by producing another album for me. So at the time, I think she had 5 or 6 albums. So that would have meant that she probably wouldn't have owned those albums. And by the time she got to album number 10, that would have meant that she would have owned only those first 5 albums after producing 5 more, which she thought was, I think everyone thought was really ridiculous and unfair because she pretty much made Big Machine Records what it is today. She was like one of the first major artists to be discovered by it. And she had the money to be able to purchase it. So then as retaliation, Scott Borchetta, the label owner, decided to sell it to somebody that she considered a nemesis, Scooter Braun. And obviously Taylor Swift took that very, very personally. And that's why she's been producing all of her new albums with like the Taylor's version parentheses to be able to own that art and to also be able to make money off of it because she's like, this is her retirement fund essentially. So over the weekend, it was 20 years to the day that Scott and Taylor had met. It was their anniversary, if you will. So Scott, who all of the Swifties view as an enemy, posted on Instagram a photo of them after they had met a couple of days later. And he captioned it. It was 20 years ago today. Today marks the 20th anniversary of my first meeting with Taylor, a day that changed both of our lives. This photo was taken two nights later at the Bluebird Cafe. You can see the back of my head and the bottom left Taylor and then her mom across the room. Always proud of the art and the work that she did while we were together and just as proud of her now. Keep crushing it, XX. Which we see is just like so phony because we don't consider this guy an ally of Taylor Swift. And for you to now get some clout because of the 20-year anniversary, weird man behavior.
Oh, I can only imagine what his comments look like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, there are a couple of celebrities that were like, oh, wow, that's so great, who have no idea what the lore is. But all the Swifties are sitting here like, come on, man. Like, you're not welcome here.
Yeah, she's got new content now for a couple new songs just based on that.
Exactly. And we're going to hear about it for the 50th time. Again, let's pivot to more happy songs. I'm ready to hear about Travis and your tour and all the good things that are happening in your life. I'm ready to stop hearing about Kim Kardashian and Scott Borchetta, who we just know that you don't like, and Scooter Braun as well. All right, Olivia Rodrigo says that there's one thing a guy could say to her that would make her not want to date him, and it's got everything to do with space. I'm going to explain on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Here we are. The Burt Show is the official sponsor of the time change over the weekend, and I totally and completely forgot about it.
Are you serious?
I was reminded on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it did.
Well, it's easy to tell because when you wake up Sunday, you look at your phone and your phone automatically does it. But it's once you go downstairs and you look at your microwave and you look at your oven and you look at any other like clock that you have to manually change, you're like, oh, I got an hour.
That's when I realized how many clocks I really have, like the coffee machine, the microwave. Uh-huh. It is so annoying.
And you're not going to change all 100% of them. There's going to be one that stays on central time now for the entire year.
Yeah, one of them is definitely going to be like that for at least a month.
They always say it's the car one because that one's the most common. Yes. But it was so depressing last night sitting there and looking outside and it got dark.
I know, right?
What? And are you kidding? It's great because I could just be like, hey, kids, it's dark outside. Oh, yeah. It's bedtime. Yeah, you know what time it is.
Yeah, you guys stayed up late. It's midnight.
Yeah.
70%, I was reading this morning, 70% of Americans say that changing the clock messes with their mood and their energy, ability to focus. I haven't noticed anything. No. I guess because I don't have any of those things anyway.
I've always loved it getting darker earlier because to me, it just signifies that it's cozy season. It gets a little colder. It means I can go to bed earlier and not hear children playing outside. Right. It's the best.
Dang kids. That's what's wrong with America.
Yeah.
You know what's so annoying? Do you know where daylight savings actually started?
Mm.
Okay. So everyone's like, it's for the farmers for an extra hour to work, right? No, it was a bug catcher in New Zealand who wanted an extra hour of daylight to hunt for bugs. I'm not kidding. You can Google it.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first I've ever heard of that.
Let me see. I Googled it again to make sure. But entomologist George Hudson in 1895, and he pushed for daylight savings. So I'm sure the official line was, it'll be helpful to our crops.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it was a guy who wanted more time to look at bugs is the reason we have seasonal affective disorder.
This guy. This guy. All right, Mo, so revenge on the deer that damn near took your life, huh?
Yes, absolutely that.
You are so exaggerative today.
No. That's the truth.
That deer did not take your...
I came in here and told y'all that I was afraid for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all laughed at me.
Maurice.
Y'all laughed at me.
Reese Cup.
Huh?
Reese Cup. Isn't it Reesekin? It is.
This guy grew up in New York City, in the mean streets of New York. Survived that. Comes down here to the South, and it's a deer that almost takes him out.
Listen, when I commute in New York, okay, I might run into a rat, maybe a pigeon, or a squirrel.
It's like a rat the size of a deer, though.
Almost. But like Bambi. Not like this big-ass deer that I've seen in the neighborhood. And y'all are acting like it's a baby. This is a grown man deer. This is a linebacker that's of
called,
a deer.
That's called a buck?
It's a buck.
Did it have
I don't know how it got from Milwaukee, but it's a buck.
You idiot. A deer went down to Georgia looking for a soda steal. Yes.
We're no longer calling them bucks. They're grown man deer.
Grown man deer. Okay. And, well, if you missed this story the first time, yes, on my commute to work, I came out.
You mean your walk to work?
My walk. It's still a commute.
Literally, okay? It's 300 yards.
It's a commute, not the focal point of this story.
You all, in your exaggeration, say this. I am impressed. Keep going.
I have to cross two streets, and I got hit by a car on one of them. Okay?
True.
It's a dangerous walk for me.
It is.
So I'm leaving my apartment. This particular day, my lady is leaving with me. She's on her way to the airport. I'm on my way to work. So at the point where she gets in the car and I go to say bye and I start walking to work, the bushes start moving. They start rattling. So obviously, I'm taken aback. The next thing I know, I don't know what the deer was in the bushes fighting with, but he won.
Now, when you hear that going on in the bushes, is your first assumption the deer is back, or did you think it was like a person?
No,
oh, he's retelling the first time.
Okay.
So the deer jumps out. And the reason I felt the way is because when the deer jumped out, we had that one-on-one moment where it was about to go down. Mm-hmm. It was a face-off.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think the deer saw that I had something in me. Mm-hmm. I was afraid, but I was ready to fight for mine. And then the deer runs off.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn around because, of course, my lady would be there, startled and concerned about my well-being. She's waving from the lift saying bye like nothing happened. So I call her when I get a chance, and I'm like, yo, what was that about? And she's like, what? And I'm like, you didn't have my back. Like, you weren't there for me when the deer. She's like, what deer? There was no deer. I'm like, why would I make that up? There was a deer. It was, how did you miss it? And what if something would have happened to me? You got to work on your awareness. Like,
from the back of your lip.
Yes. I didn't know what's going on.
You do have a point there.
Thank you.
You do have a point there.
So she never believed me. To this moment,
really?
She never believed me. She still did not believe that I actually saw a deer.
What a weird story to make up.
Right. Who makes a story like that up? And so, this, like, 2 days ago, she comes into the apartment, and we now run. Like, every morning, we try to get up and run. And she comes in, and she's clearly startled. Like, clearly. So I'm like, you all right? And she's out of breath. So I'm thinking she had must have. But I'm like, why did you run upstairs? Like, your run should have been over, and you should have took the elevator. And she's like, oh, my God. I just got chased by the deer. I said, I told you. I tried to tell you. Look at the revenge.
Chased by the deer,
I think the deer probably was just running with her, but she swore it chased her. Either way.
Oh, the deer just wanted a running buddy.
Aww. Yeah, now she's terrified of going outside. Revenge is sweet.
And she's from New York, too. See, this is what happens to the Yankees when they come down south, man.
We deal with pigeons, man, not deer.
The Burt Show.
I got to get this off my chest early this morning because I showed very amazing restraint over the weekend where in my mind's eye, I hit a senior citizen man right in the D. Right in the D with my fist.
In the junk?
Right in the junk.
What?
Let me set the tone for you. And I cannot believe that I actually capped my anger in the moment. I'm at Lifetime Fitness, right? Senior citizen, I'm not kidding. I'm in the locker room at Lifetime Fitness. Now, at Lifetime Fitness, you have a bunch of lockers that are stacked on top of each other in long rows. So you've got a top row and you've got a lower row. Usually when I walk in there, there's one or two lockers and the above rows, just use that locker. Well, Saturday morning when I went, all the above lockers were pretty much filled up. So I had to use one of the bottom lockers.
Nobody wants to bend down.
Nobody. Well, no, in this case, I certainly didn't want to. So I'm done with my workout and I go back to my locker to get my stuff. And as I'm there, I get there before a guy that's about 74, 75 years old. And he's got his AirPods in. And the older dudes do not like wearing towels, man. They don't care anymore.
Nope.
They just let it all hang out, man. You can see those clickety-clacks all the way down to the knees.
Well,
Women are kind of like this too, because I feel like every time I'm at like a spa or some kind of like area where there's a sauna, there is always one old woman that walks in just stark naked, you know, for no reason.
And good for them. You know what? Those body image things, they're like, you know what? I'm at an age now where it don't matter. I'm not going to see these people again. They're past it, right? I respect it. However, this old guy, this dude, was standing next to me, and he was obviously waiting for me to get my stuff out. Now, it's not like I brought a whole bunch of different supplements and it was taking me 5 minutes to get into my locker, but he was impatient, and his locker was on the top to the right of mine. Okay,
so yeah, time's a-ticking. He's about to keel over any minute now.
Maybe he's plenty flexible, I will tell you that, because as I'm bent down on my knees and he's impatient, this is right out of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Uh-uh. Nope.
He reaches up and reaches over my head, his naked body, to get to his locker, which is to my right.
No way.
So his entire thing is right by my ear my cheek, man.
I swear to you, dude.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, it is just dangling there. Now, it was just a couple of seconds, but I was floored, shocked, because you know, I've explained this before, like when there's a spirit in the room, you can feel the electricity, you just can't see it.
Yeah.
I could feel the electricity in this guy's junk, right next to my face. I turned around and
to face it?
Why would you do that?
I wasn't sure. I'm like, this kid, it's all happening so fast.
Don't look it in the eye.
I can't.
Straight forward.
It's what we've always been taught, Abby. Don't look
I think there was the disbelief where common sense went out the window.
Oh, yeah.
So I turned to the left, and sure enough, it's right there in my face.
Oh.
And I wasn't nice about it. I said, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? And he had his AirPods in, so I don't even know that he heard me, and got his stuff out while I sort of like, I almost look like a basketball player that just got fouled and
charge. That's all you could do in that moment.
That's it. And then he just walked off in his naked ass, down. Never even, I don't think, realized the infraction at the time. Oh, but in my mind's eye, I literally saw my hand hit him in the balls. Just hit him in those clickety clacks.
I don't think you would have been wrong. Now I understand.
Absolutely floored. Now, like you say, I see it's the older guys there that are usually have no towels at all, which for me is great motivation. And I have said this before, because when you see a saggy 80-year-old butt, you're like, I'm doing squats today. I'm working on booty, right? But this guy had no self-awareness and no spatial awareness whatsoever. And just literally went right over to me where his nads were at my eyes, in between my eyes and my ear.
I can't believe you didn't say something.
He did.
He just didn't hear it. No, I mean like went in.
Yeah, I can't either.
Yeah, these guys, you know what? It's all happening so fast in the moment, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience that when it comes up, you can't be prepared for it.
Can you imagine he hears Bert say something and one wrong move to the left to see who said that? And you're getting whacked.
I was going to get knocked out by those things because they were hanging low.
You're getting KO'd at the really lifetime fitness.
Just on your neck.
I'm like, can this really be happening? And this is no embellishment, you guys. It happened just like that.
Oh, I believe you. The passion with which you're telling the story, I 1,000% believe you.
I'm so mad.
He will never know he did that to me.
I'm so sorry.
I know, right? I know. I almost felt like going to management, but then you're going to narc on like a 74-year-old guy for his clickety-clacks hanging out. It just didn't seem right.
Yeah, I don't see how that conversation goes. Like, I think it was just assaulted in the past.
Yeah, how do you even explain that?
I pretty much just let it go at that point. Sometimes in life, you just got to take the L.
Yeah, take the L.
And,
oh, that was a big L.
Yeah.
It's layered.
He's probably back at the old folks home right now and going, hey, you should have seen what I did to a dude today in the gym.
Did the Michael Jordan pose to you?
Because he knows he's at a certain age where nobody's going to say anything to him. And he's probably telling his friends, I put my clickety clacks right on that dude's eyeballs. And he said nothing.
Oh. We play a game and you got sausage missiles.
The Bert Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
So her dad left a while back, but now here he is sniffing around mom's, trying to get back in mom's life, and it's leaving Katie feeling a certain way.
Yes, I would like to pick the men's brains because I want to know and understand the thought process behind my best friend's dad trying to get a piece of her mom's sweet potato pie for Thanksgiving.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Is that a code word, sweet potato pie?
It sure is.
Okay.
So my best friend's parents, they like divorced well over 15 years ago, and they just were like regular parents who just coexisted. There wasn't like any, it wasn't any tension with their split. It was just, hey, we no longer work together, mm-hmm. type of thing.
We right? don't feel it anymore.
Yeah, we just don't feel it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And so they don't talk all the time at all. Her parents rarely do. It's one of those things, if she's on the phone with her dad, he'll say, hey, just tell your mom I said, hey, how's she doing? She's doing cool. That's it. And then maybe around the holidays when she goes back to her hometown where her dad still lives, she may visit him and her mom may be with her. And it's just chill. That's it. Mm-hmm. You would think it's just friendly. However, within the last, like, I would probably say 4 months or so, her dad's tune towards her mom has completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to figure out if it's because her mom has been single for all these years that they split. She never got into a new relationship with anyone else. However, her dad did, but he's no longer with anyone. He's single. And so right now, her mom has finally found like a new love. In this last, and her and this guy have been dating for like a year. And her mom seems very happy. She's been traveling, doing a whole bunch of things that she didn't do before. And she's living her best life,
the
right?
The exes know how to sniff out that happiness,
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm.
So as her mom is going on, living her best life with her new man, right? Her father... my best friend's father has started to slowly, you know, peek around more, ask more questions about mm-hmm. her mom when he's on the phone. He's like, hey, how's your mom doing? How's things in her life? What's she been up to? I see she's been traveling and stuff. She's been posting pictures on Facebook. How's that going?
Mm.
So the last conversation that my best friend had with her dad was about Thanksgiving and how the holidays are going to work. And she's going to go back to her hometown. And typically her mom comes with her and he's like, hey, make sure, you know, this year your mom stops by and says hey to me. You know, I kind of miss seeing her and stuff like that. And I would really like to hang out and spend some more quality time with her and stuff.
Okay, pops.
And so my best friend was like, okay. And they go on with their conversation. Then like minutes into the conversation, he's like, where's your mom right now?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, upstairs on the phone. He's like, oh, okay, all right. Well, you know, just tell her, I said, hey. She's like, okay, I will. 15 minutes go by with their regular conversation. He says, she's still on the phone? My best friend's like, yeah, she's still on the phone. He's like, well, just let her know I want to talk to her. And she's like, okay, well, why? He's like, I don't know. I just want to talk to her. Tell her I love her.
Oh.
What?
Oh, the big gun.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So now he's pulling this out.
I want to interject because I think it's really unfair to put the daughter in that
mm-hmm.
position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's uncool to ask your kid. I mean, regardless of their age, right. It's still your kid to be, like, the go-between and pass on a message like that to, like, your ex-wife.
Exactly. And so my best friend's like, okay, this is kind of weird behavior. She's like, my dad just kept pressing it and pressing it and pressing it. She's like, this is weird how he just kept pressing it. And so after she got off the phone, she went and told her mom. She's like, hey, dad's acting weird. He's talking about how he loves you. He wants to see you at Thanksgiving and stuff. And then her mom's like, no, I don't want to see that man. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm just saying that this is the message he sent. And her mom's like, okay, whatever. A couple of days go by after that conversation. flowers get delivered.
Oh, Pops is going way above and beyond now.
To her mom's house. And of course, it's from her dad. Just like, oh, just thinking of you, flowers. And I'm like, why? Why? Out of nowhere, you want to tell her that you love her. You want to see her for Thanksgiving. You want to send her thinking of you, flowers. Like, why now?
All right, so Mo is going to speak for all men.
I mean, the obvious answer here is it's a situation where a person starts doing all of the things that you wanted them to do in the first place when y'all were together when it's too late. Because he's
15 years.
He's in desperation mode. I don't know why it took him so long to realize that he still wants to be with her.
Because he's lonely.
It clearly hit him. I don't know if his last relationship didn't work out, but he's at a point in life where he is in desperation mode and he's pulling out all of the stops to try to get her back.
See, and I think it's something different. I think it's like this male competitive ego that another man has her. Because for 15 years, she's been single and this hasn't been an issue. He's never once in 15 years thought, wow, I really let a good one go. It's not until she gets a good man who's given her some well-deserved attention that all of a sudden he's like, no, that should be me. That just screams fragile male ego.
I think the competitiveness is a good point, but I also think people want what they can't have. Like, how many times have you been, like, getting hit on by somebody or you're flirting with someone and it just feels too easy, and then the second somebody else shows a little bit of interest in them, all of a sudden they're like Brad Pitt. They're the hottest person in the bar. I think this is the first time in 15 years or 14 years, however long they've been dating, that he can't just, it's not just easy anymore. He can't just slide in and say, hey, whenever he wants. Now there's actually a barrier and it makes her that much more attractive.
This is male ego too, man. The only time that my mom and dad were in the same room together after their divorce was my wedding. And after the reception, I remember my dad telling me, even though my mom was married for like 15, 20 years after that, hey, you know your mom? I could have hit that tonight.
What?
Your dad did not.
I swear. I mean, he used different words, but he's like, yeah, you know what? I could have taken your mom home tonight.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you out of your mind? She didn't even say hi to you all night, dude.
He's like, first of all, you're wrong.
He's like, it was all lined up. And her husband was there and everything.
Your dad was DeLulu before DeLulu was a popular phrase.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Olivia Rodrigo's got an oddly specific dating red flag, and people are split down the middle on how to feel about it. So she was doing some promo for her new concert film that's coming out, where she was just talking about some of the outfits that she's worn, and she's talking about some of her experiences on tour. And the thing, like, Olivia Rodrigo's shtick for this tour is when she would switch up outfits, she would have these specific white tank tops, and they would say something that's kind of a reference to maybe another pop star, like a pop culture reference. And so she pulls out this white tank top that says "Dump Him," which is a very obvious reference to Britney Spears. And then she goes in to her very specific red flag that she always looks out for on a first date.
The biggest red flag, okay, this is a very oddly specific question that I ask guys on first dates. I always ask them if they think that they would want to go to space. And if they say yes, I don't date them. I just think if you want to go to space, you're a little too full of yourself, because I think it's just weird.
What? I'm not understanding the connection.
Okay, so the reasoning as far as why I don't fully get,
I kind of get it.
You do? What is it?
I don't know. I mean, think about all the guys that, like, did the Elon Musk space thing. It was like Pete Davidson and like all of these like big shot, like big bros trying to go to space just to be able to say that they went up and spent millions of dollars to go to space for 5 seconds.
Okay, if you look at it like that, because that the way she, I would like a follow-up question, because I want to be like, okay, is this like astronauts or is this just like a passenger on SpaceX going up, and so you can say like you like touched space?
I don't think she's talking about like astrophysicists that worked their whole lives to go touch the moon or something like that. I think she's talking about guys who are just like, oh yeah, I want to drop $5 million to go on Tesla's space exploration for 5 seconds.
Sure.
I think it's like the perfect example of how women read so much into everything. Like we always say, women play chess, not checkers. We're not just looking at the surface of, oh, you want to go to space. We're thinking of the reasoning and what that says about you as a person and your character.
This is so funny, because if Bart came to me tomorrow and was like, hey, I want to go to space, I'd be like, ick.
Yeah,
like,
you get kind of, you get the itch. Really? Like, what do you mean you want to go to space?
Like, yes.
I'd be all in.
Me too. I want to go with you.
If I had $1 billion and I was going to pay five, and I could afford to go $5 million and go into space, heck yeah, I'm doing it, man.
I would go too.
Yep.
As a woman, I'm like, who's up there? Who are you texting?
No.
Who's in that spaceship that you're going with?
She up there with you.
You got to think for aliens. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, I can paint myself green. What you need? So you can't stand me so much that you got to go to the moon to get away from me? 100%.
Yes. You just wanted some peace and quiet for
He's
a little
hoping
bit.
It explodes.
But I know my friends like read into things like this. Like for me, I always look at a guy's shoes. Like to me, I think a guy's shoes say a lot about his cleanliness and his hygiene. So I always look to see like if he's wearing like a white pair of shoes, if they look like they've been through some stuff, for me, that's kind of an
ick. Okay.
I get that one.
Does everyone have one thing? Because I look at fingernails.
Fingernails. Okay, that's a good one. If they got dirt underneath the nails.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. But also if they're like kind of long. Not like long, but just too long where I'm like, you probably should have trimmed those. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. There's nothing wrong with that. It just gives me the ick.
Or like if they have one on their pinky that's just a little longer than
the that's a hard no. That's scratches.
It's not necessarily a physical thing. Well, with the exception of my current. In the past, if I looked in their car and it was a complete and total mess, big time turn off.
It kind of tells you what the house probably looked like.
And other things.
That was like the old, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale, but like dirty car meant dirty something else. Mm-hmm.
You can't keep your car clean. What else can't you keep clean?
It's fair.
All right, we lost a legend last night. Quincy Jones, at the age of 91, passed away. This guy's an icon. I mean, for so many reasons. He produced 1985's We Are the World. He produced Thriller, The Wiz, The Color Purple, and you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just you know, a typical normal TV show, massive TV show. I mean, this guy had 28 Grammys, two honorary Oscars, an Emmy. I mean, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's gone now. But you know, at 91, you've lived a long life.
Just a couple of months ago, I watched the Netflix documentary, I think it's called We Are the World, on the day and the night that they put it all together, and it pretty much centers around Quincy trying to get all of these A-list celebrities together in the same room. Now would be a really great time to watch it because it's really a beautiful couple of hours.
It's fascinating. So it's Quincy, it's Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson who were like the center of making that happen. But Quincy's the one that's in the room of all these massive A-list musicians trying to get them to all work together and like keep egos in check and try to keep the room going. And he's actually, he has to turn on dad mode because they're not listening to him. And it's really priceless to watch. Yeah.
Highest level of musical genius for over five generations, man. Probably, if not, that may be the best producer and soundtrack composer of all time.
You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that says that they weren't somehow like
impacted
by what he did for decades and decades and decades.
Absolute legend. So we're remembering him today. A model is opening up about her experience at Diddy's freak-off parties and the unsettling things she saw him bring out that's got everything to do with one of his A-list exes. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.